I'm Shar Banerjee, and this is Books That Built Me. I'm an ex-executive turned to leadership coach specializing in people managers. My job is to get people out of that manager headspace and into their leadership growth space. I typically work with clients to build leadership DNA and self-leadership muscles in group programs or one-to-one coaching. But on this show, we're going to dive deep into the stories of other leaders, and it all starts with a book that they believe has fueled their passion, influenced their decisions, and now these book lessons are life lessons. Welcome to Books That Built Me. Today, I'm in conversation with Susan Power, and in today's episode, we're going to be discussing Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. Get unstuck, reclaim your freedom, and build your empire. Buy Back Your Time is the definitive guide for entrepreneurs at every level on how to succeed in business while enjoying more freedom than they've ever imagined. From the back of the book here, it talks about how Buy Back Your Time is all about tackling the concept of conquering the biggest hurdle in scaling one's company and growing rich, which is to create more time. I'm so glad you could join us. Here we go. It sounded like when I first spoke to you, it sounded like you have been following Dan for a long time. What's the story there?
So I've been following Dan for about 5-6 years, and I had him come on my podcast, Inspired Leadership, as a guest in 2019. And I became a bigger fan. I learned more about him in that interview, and I've been following him on social since. Yeah. And I think I told you when I met you, I signed up for his Elite Entrepreneur group coaching program. And just the more I learned from him, the more I want to work with him because I've gotten so much out of the experience.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, I mean, it sounds like he as a mentor has done amazing things for you. And we are talking about this book in particular, which goes through some really tactical and practical pieces of not just advice, but I would say like advice plus. You know, he's like, I've not only done it, not only have my clients done it, but you're behind if you're not doing it. So I call that advice plus.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of who this guy is, and in case your listeners are not familiar with him, he is a SaaS, software as a system, entrepreneur. He's scaled and exited 3 businesses, and he wrote this book, Buy Back Your Time, because he wanted to share some of the lessons he had learned as initially he had a bunch of businesses that failed, but then he cracked the code and, you know, scaled and sold 3 of them. So that's really what this book is. A lot of times people see it and they think it's a time management book. Right. And it's so much more than that. So he has a quote in here about many entrepreneurs are looking to build a life that they love. I'm trying to find the exact quote in the book. But a lot of entrepreneurs work around the clock and they start to hate their business, right? Even if they are successful, because they start to scale and they start to sacrifice their personal life. So he talks about buying back your time so you can create a life that you love and build your empire, he calls it, so you can build a life that you want to live and that really you become your 10.0 version of yourself.
Yeah, actually, that's a great point, because he is very particular in the way that he describes empire building. Because I remember there's a part in the book that he says there's 3 levels. Level 1 is where you are, and you know, being employed. Level 2 is where you are an entrepreneur, so you're creating the business, and you employ others. But level 3 is when you're an empire builder, and that's different from being an entrepreneur. And he's very clear that there is an exchange of money for time at level 2, but there is an exchange of money for more money in level 3. And that's how he defines building an empire. Do you want to just touch on that? Yeah,
exactly. So the whole principle of that, he calls it the buyback loop, right? Just like you said, of exchanging time for money. So eventually you want to get to the place where you're really spending your time on those things that light you up, that give you energy and also make you money, but there's also things you want to spend your time on that light you up, that you're learning and investing in yourself and growing, like coming on a podcast would be a great example of something like that. And if you do that consistently over time, you're going to be building your empire of your best life possible, because you're becoming better as a person and you're growing and you'll have even more to contribute.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And so after reading this book, Buy Back Your Time is all about entrepreneurs who get stuck in the mindset of no one else can do it like I can do it. And even if I hire them, you know, the buck stops at me. So I might as well involve myself at every turn. And his whole premise is to slice that up into multiple pieces and say that's like the wrong belief to hold onto. Exactly. In fact, it's the one that will cost you millions. And his whole thing is, how can you calculate your buyback rate, which is a very interesting formula.
So in the book, he talks about, say you pay yourself $200,000 a year and 2,000 hours in the year, more or less. You divide that into 200,000, that's $100 an hour is your hourly rate. So he says to take your hourly rate and divide that by four, and $25 an hour would be your buyback rate. So you shouldn't be doing any task in your business that you could pay someone $25 an hour or less. And for most people, that involves hiring an executive assistant or a virtual assistant to do the admin task as the first role that you would pay someone to do rather than do yourself.
Yeah. And he also talks about the psychology piece of it, because, you know, there's the math component of it. There's the logical ROI. Of course you should be doing it. If you look at the finances of it all, this is how much you should, you know, and so that's one component. But then there's that other like psychological, emotional component of what it means to let go of what you were holding on to. And so if this was your biggest takeaway, is that what's happening now? Like, is this the system that you've created for yourself? Or what does that look like for you, Susan?
I'm still in process of implementing it, but I've gotten as far, he calls it the replacement ladder in his book. First, it's administration. Then it's delivery, whether it's a coaching service or whatever your business produces. So doing the work. Then marketing, then sales, then leadership. So it's in that order that you start to replace yourself to free up your time to do more of these light you up activities and operate just in your zone of genius. I've gotten as far, and it's so right when you talk about the psychology, it's really hard for people to let go, like when they're a business owner, because it's their business, it's their baby. And you almost have to retrain yourself, because when you first start, you're doing everything. So you're used to it. And it's hard to let go, especially if you're a type A person, which I am. It is hard to let go sometimes. But it's so important, because you'll never, I know Martel always says, you'll only grow your business to the level of the entrepreneur. So if you're not growing your people and letting go, your business is going to stall at that level.
Yeah. Oh, I love that quote, actually, that your business will only grow to the level of the entrepreneur. And so the spotlight really is on the entrepreneur to take it from good to great.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that ties back into that replacement ladder and what he calls the drip matrix. And that stands for delegation, replacement ladder, investment, and production. So it's imagine a Y and X axis where you're measuring your energy, what lights you up and what drains you, and the other axis is you're not making any money till you're making tons of money. And as the entrepreneur, you want to spend your time in production, your zone of genius that lights you up and you make lots of money, some of your time there, but also in that investment bucket where you're growing, learning so you can grow the business further. And that's really the focus. And it becomes different as you grow as a person, right? What we're focused on this year, hopefully next year, we'll be learning something new because we'll have tackled those challenges.
Yeah. And there's almost this premeditated vision that you have to have of not only your weeks coming up, like of your day, then of your week, and then your year. And he is such a proponent of the perfect week, which then ladders up to the perfect year. Can you speak to that element in the book and how that's translated for you, Susan?
The ideal week is thinking about if you were to construct both professionally and personally your ideal week, how many hours a week would you be working out? Would you be spending on focused thinking work, client work, one-on-one team meetings, fun outings with friends? And you map that out. So Dan Martell has said on our coaching calls that his time is mapped out, like every hour, including his weekends, his date night with his wife, everything. It's on the calendar, because if he doesn't picture the ideal week, it's not going to happen and something will interfere in its place. So it's getting really clear on what is your ideal week and what does your current week look like compared to that, and doing a time and energy audit and figuring out where is your time currently going is the first step in identifying where the gap is between current state, current week versus ideal week.
Yeah. I want to say that section of the book was probably the most impactful in terms of the little hacks that he has. So one of the ideas that he introduced was this idea of buffer time. Like, you think in theory buffer time is a good thing. You have a meeting, you've got some time to recoup, switch gears, and then go into another activity. And he proves that buffer time actually costs you a lot more time in your overall day and week than not having it at all and sort of batching the same tasks together. That, I thought, was really beautifully laid out and such a great demonstration of effectiveness that's like married to tasks, right? Like within the same task bucket, you can be an effective leader. And then if you want to have a buffer, do that, but switch to a completely different task. And then and then that's your next batch. I thought that was phenomenal, because he also then mirrored that energy component. Because he talks about time, which is great, like time management's amazing, but energy management is the other sort of like variable to the equation.
Exactly. So an example of what you just mentioned would be if he was doing his one-on-ones with his team, he'll schedule them back to back to back. Maybe it's Wednesday, for instance, you know, and he'll get into that frame of mind of, okay, I'm developing and coaching my team, I'm having my one-on-ones. Or if he's doing podcasts, he'll do those. He'll do, like, I think he said 5 to 8 podcasts back to back to back
in
to back.
Day.
So he's a high energy guy. Like most people, you know, you need to be at a certain threshold of health and wellness and energy to have the energy to sustain that. But that's the goal as you continue to invest in yourself and become that 10.0 version of yourself. Is there anything from this book, because you're a business owner as well, is there anything that you're adopting into your own practices or plan to?
There was something that it was around the language of transformational leadership, which it's one of the things that you know, and then when you read it, you know it better, or you get to know it better. And there's this part where he talks about what does it mean to what's the difference between transactional management versus transformational leadership. And the entire idea even exists, you know, you talked about having a virtual assistant or a personal assistant. And so often we think, okay, a personal assistant's going to do exactly what we tell them to do. And, you know, and the idea that most people have is you tell them, then you check their work, and then you move on to the next thing. And that's what it is. You tell them, you check, you tell them, you check, and then you move. So that's the framework of what he calls transactional management versus transformational leadership, which is an alternate three-step approach where you A, tell them what the outcome that you desire is first, then you move on to how to measure whether or not that's getting done, and the third piece of it is then coaching. So you And what I love about the transformational leadership part is there is no, it's not as straightforward as your brain thinks it can, it should be. With transformational leadership, I find that you're inviting the creativity of the other person to enrich and enlarge what you have created in your universe. Because I fundamentally believe that every single person is naturally extremely creative. And we are extremely creative problem solvers. We all have the solutions to the problems that we think we have. And so when you start with the outcome, which is to say, my outcome is that I want this to look like this, or I want this to be this. Mm-hmm. However you get there, the path that you choose is your choice. And then we measure for whether or not it's working. And then the coaching element is, okay, that was good. You could tweak this there and that's there. And, you know, we'll just focus on the outcome. So I love that approach of it. Again, something that I already know, but it's great to see it in somebody else's language.
Yeah. And it's so much more motivating too, like thinking about being on the receiving end of that. If you let someone figure out how they're going to tackle a problem, they might come up with solutions that you have never even thought of. And often I think what happens is it's even a better solution than the entrepreneur would have come up with themselves by giving them, here's the outcome that we want to achieve. And you come back with three options of how you might move forward. You can still be involved, so you don't have to give up complete control, but it allows the person to your point, be creative, and really the sky's the limit in terms of the approach that they might take. And I know Martel always talks about his management team through his business that they have autonomy to make a $5,000 decision without his sign off. So he's not the bottleneck always in moving things forward. If there's a problem that needs to be fixed, they can make that decision without talking to him.
Yeah, that's a great hack. Again, this section is all about the hacks. That hack was called, I can't remember, but it was something called like the $50 magic pill. That's what he says. It's give everyone on your team an amount of money that they can spend to fix problems without your involvement. So the $5,000 is probably for his executive team, but that approach even exists with, you know, any sort of layer, including an executive assistant, like whether that's $50 or, you know, $100, whatever it may be. That's their limit of money that they don't have to explain how they've spent it to solve a problem, though they report on it, you know, at a later point. But you are not the bottleneck. The other thing that you touched on is the three. And so he has a 1-3-1 rule, which I thought was also really a really fascinating way of ensuring that conversations are effective by nature. And so his 1-3-1 principle is all about, in the land of chaos, where one problem feels like it's feeding another problem, which then feels like it's bigger than it truly is, the one represents very succinctly being able to say very clearly, X is my problem. My problem is just one clear thing. So that's what the one represents. And so his whole thing is when, you know, when he has people who are reporting up to him, this is the framework in which they should report on issues that are happening. So bring up one clear problem. And then the three represents three options of solutions that they bring. Again, inviting their creativity, their own natural intuition, and their own, you know, research and development, whatever they bring to the table. Here's a space for all of that to come alive. And then the one is the one that they recommend. 1-3-1.
And this empowers people to take more ownership in the business too, right? Because you're not just telling them what to do. And it becomes so much more clear of what the three options are when you really hone in on one problem. And I see this a lot as a leadership coach. When I ask people, okay, what's your challenge? What do you want to talk about today? They'll give me six things, right? Because they have a lot of problems. And it always comes down to, okay, well, which one do you think would have the biggest impact on you today for us to start with? And we can see if we get to the other ones. Yeah. But if you have a clear problem, if your problem's clearly defined, it makes it so much more easier to come up with clear solutions, because otherwise it's like, well, what are we solving for?
Yeah. And actually, even on a personal level, when you feel all sorts of way and, you know, things just feel too much or too crazy or too busy, oftentimes they say if you just kind of start writing or typing out whatever in stream of consciousness, whatever is happening in your brain, and you distill that into like what is at the heart of all of the chaos that surrounds the issue, and you get to the one issue, that in itself is solving like 80% of the drama. Because in not knowing what the issue is, it just feels bigger.
Yeah, the emotion floods in, right? Whether it's overwhelm or whatever it is, but you can start to make sense of the chaos just by that free flow is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. The other word you touched on, Susan, which I think actually could be the title of this book, it's all about ownership. And it's interesting because as an entrepreneur, of course you have ownership. You've built this thing. It's your baby. This is your idea, your dream come alive. And his whole, like all these hacks, all these techniques, it's actually about creating more ownership in others that then supports what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, Dan Martell, he always talks about this, that your goals and dreams as an entrepreneur need to be big enough that your team's goals and dreams can fit into that. So he talks about asking during the one-on-ones, what are your goals and dreams for your life and your career over the next 5 years? So he understands and can support what his employees want for themselves. Maybe it's buying a house or going to Italy or starting up their business. Like, you don't know unless you ask. And I think that's where the developing yourself, the investment piece of working on things that light you up fit into it, because unless you're growing as the business owner, you're never going to grow a big business that's going to be big enough to fit the goals and dreams of your team inside unless you're growing and developing. So he's always saying that you need to have big goals, big dreams, want to build that empire, or your best people will leave and work for someone who is doing that.
Yeah, that's so, so beautifully put. There's a story in here about an entrepreneur who's made it, doesn't have to worry about his business, and resorts to drinking as a way of just kind of coping with the day to day. And he sees his daughter chugging chugging a Coke in the same way that he chugs his beer. And she finishes and says, I just want to be happy like Dad is happy after his drink. And that was his moment of, okay, I've made it in my business. I'm doing great. And this is not the legacy that I want to leave.
Exactly. And as a leader, employees are no different, right? They're observing what the leader is doing and maybe role modeling or not, and learning from that. And when you said that, it reminds me of, it's in the book as well, he talks about building a life that you never want to retire from. Because retirement, I think, is an outdated concept in my view. And if you really are building a life, an empire, like this, realizing the self-actualization, you're going to want to continue to do it as long as you're healthy.
I love that. Retirement is an outdated concept. You know, there's so much about work that is imperative to feeling fulfillment. And if you can figure that out because you have the gift of time, that I think is the point that Dan is really trying to hit.
I think you nailed it. Yeah, it's about getting your time back so you can spend it in the best places possible.
This has been a phenomenal conversation. Thank you, Susan. What's another book that you feel has truly changed the scope of your life, or a book that has really changed the way that you exist and grows you to this day?
Yeah, one that I read, it was actually recommended to me by a coaching client, And it's called Business Secrets from the Bible. And it's interesting. It's written by a rabbi, and it's a really good read. It's really, really, really good, regardless of what your belief system is. But the main takeaway from that book is of being of service, and that money is simply a reward for being of service and value to other people. And the focus needs to be on every day, how can I serve this person based on what they need? And if I can't serve them, don't even try to make money from them because it's just not going to go anywhere. And I just love that concept because it changes the energy you bring to an interaction of, I want to be of service. Let's figure out if I can meet your problem, solve your problem. If not, I'm not the right person for you. And there's a lot more in it than that, but I just love that concept.
And a fascinating title, like so interesting. Business Secrets from the Bible.
Yeah, I can't remember the author's name. It's Rabbi Daniel something, but it's definitely worth the read. A lot of translation from Hebrew, lots of lessons from the Bible. I didn't realize there were so many business secrets from the Bible until I read this book.
Same. Okay, well, I'll find it and I'll link it in the show notes. Thank you so much, Susan, for being here, for sharing your time, your energy with us. A very good question that you asked me before we hit record is, Shar, we're not going to go past the hour, right? And I said, no, Susan, that's what we learned from the book. We're not going to bleed. We're not going to
Well,
bleed time.
thank you, Shar, for the opportunity to discuss this book with you today, and I really appreciate all your insights that you brought. You clearly read it in a lot of detail, and I hope your listeners pick up a copy of it, Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. And by the way, he has a workbook online that has all the templates behind his book, no cost. Anyone can
Great,
download
great.
it, so your listeners can check that out as well.
That's so helpful. Great tip. Thanks, Susan. And that's it for this episode of Books That Built Me. If you've enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to leave us a review. It really helps support what we're doing. Thanks for listening, and you can always find me on my LinkedIn at Shar Banerjee. If you're dealing with a leadership challenge, I would love to hear from you and have you join our community. And of course, I'll talk to you next Tuesday on a brand new episode of Books That Built Me.